Welcome to the new. Every experience with God's Word promises to be refreshing and transformational. Receive today's message with high expectations as it brings power, light, and a fresh anointing to your life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have your seats. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we give you praise. We thank you. How many of you are excited to be in God's presence this morning? Hallelujah. I know that when it's time for love, people are always excited. They are concurring. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we just lift up our hands to God this morning? And right now, I just want you to just pray under your breath and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through today's service. I want you to set out your expectations out to God this morning, that you receive a light in the name of Jesus. You receive a light and you not leave here the same way that you have come in the name of Jesus. That even though we are talking about love, relationships, that the Holy Spirit will minister to your heart and you will receive that which you ought to receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for today's service. We receive your word, we receive your instruction, we receive your reproof. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. How many of you really prayed as I was praying? Glory to God. Hallelujah! Praise God! All right, so I have just a few minutes and I'd just like to appreciate PS for giving me this opportunity. Can you please celebrate PS? Is that how you celebrate PS? Glory to God. Can please be seated. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. So today my job is really focused on the married people. Calm down. I'm coming, okay? So I will be speaking on about the married couples. For the married couples, and PS will be speaking to the singles. Hallelujah. Singles, are you excited? I know that there's this misconception that in church that people feel like we pay more attention to the married couples than the singles. But don't worry, at least we have butterflies coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have, you know, so much exciting things for you guys. Of course, it's both singles and married, but don't worry. I'll let the singles overshadow the marriage, right? Don't worry. Glory to God. So how many married people do I have in the house this morning? And it's not just for the married people. You can also learn. Glory to God. So because I'm saying that I'm speaking to the married people doesn't mean that you can also learn, because at least you're going to get married someday, aren't you? Right? All right, so I just have a few minutes before PS comes in. Hallelujah. So these are things that, you know, I feel like I would like to share, and I feel like we can learn from and, you know, leverage in where marriage is concerned. And this is based off of what I've experienced as a marriage counselor, right? Interacting with couples. Please, can we reduce the volume just a bit? Interacting with couples, challenges that, you know, couples face. And I feel like these are key things that when we delve into, right, it has a tendency to reduce, you know, a lot of challenges that marriages face. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many singles are expecting to get married this 2024? If you have faith, let me see your hands up. You have said that we should not bamboozle you, but how many of you are looking forward to getting married this 2024? Glory to God. Wow, glory to God. Like PD has said, nobody will harass you. I've been seeing a meme now that on Valentine's Day, just introduce yourself, tell us what the Lord has done, and full stop, is a lie. We'll pepper you guys, we'll pressure you. Glory to God. Don't worry, I have something. But anyway, let me just go ahead. And so where marriage is concerned, Pastor Dayton, please, I need your help. Please just let me know once so that I don't go overboard. when marriage is concerned, right, it's two people becoming one. And we understand that. And I liken that to a team, right? Let's use like a football team, for instance. It's just that football team, they're 11. But in this case, you are two. Well, as you go on, you populate to become whatever amount you want to have in your team, right? If you want to have 10 children, it's okay. If you want to have like 5, it's okay. In this economy, it's okay, right? So, but it's a team. We are a team. We're working together. We've come together. The Bible says that for this reason shall a man leave his wife and be cling to his his father and mother and be clinged to his wife, right? So when you come together, right, as a couple, you are a team, right? And you're working towards a goal, you're working towards a vision, you're working towards a direction, you're working towards whatever it is that, you know, you guys want to achieve as a team. Glory to God. Glory to God, right? So it is very, very important for you to have that understanding, right? That we are not in competition with each other. Preach it to your neighbor. Say, well, if you are married, preach to your partner. That we're not in competition. We are not in competition. Where is Dr. Lewis? She's at the back. We're not in competition with each other, right? We are on the same team, right? And so whatever we do together, whatever I do, is for the benefit of our team. Glory to God. And which brings me to my first point, and it is leveraging on each other's strength. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because I believe that when we leverage on each other's strength, there'll be minimal issues in marriage. Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 5 verse, no, before we go there, let's open to Genesis 20 verses 1. And I just want to, you know, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to this as I was meditating on this particular, you know, point, because it's one of the things I've found over and over and over and over again in marriages where you feel like you guys are not supposed to be like this. If you leverage on your strength, you would accomplish a lot together. Hallelujah. Genesis 20, I will read. It says, and Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Next verse. Okay, let me just go. It's like I'm on my own. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Anyway, let me not go ahead, because I've kind of just touched on what I wanted to talk about. Can we please celebrate PS? Hallelujah. Right? So we see here in this scripture, right, that Abraham, even if it's quite twisted, right, because Abraham lied, right? He lied that Sarah was his sister, but she wasn't his sister. Why do you think he lied? What? I can't hear you. To waste time. Sorry? I can't hear you. But someone should just raise up their hand and speak. She's too beautiful. Anyone else? Okay, all right. Glory to God. Whatever it is that you said, yes. Right? So, at this point, right, we see that the Bible says that the husband is the head of the home, is the head of the wife. That's what the scripture says. We can't change that no matter what happens. A husband is the head of, not a man is the head of the woman. It is a husband who is the head of the wife. Glory to God. Right? So when it comes to marriage and leveraging your strengths, right, we find that it is whoever has the ability and the competency to achieve something should be the one should take the lead where that is concerned. Hallelujah. So we see here, it, like Abraham, what Abraham did, right? There was famine and Abraham was going and all of that. And he said, see, as we are going to this place, just tell them, even though he lied, we know he lied, right? The father of faith, he lied. Glory to God. He said, say that you are my sister. And the reason why he said that is so that he knew, number one, that Sarah was a beautiful woman and she would have favor, or the favor that he required will be gotten by you doing, by making use of that attribute that she had. Glory to God. Glory to God. And what did that do for him? It gave him access to the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as a married couple, or as a couple that you are a team, whoever it is that has the, you know, the competency where any area is concerned should take the lead. Let me give you an example about me and my husband. I mean, there's so many things. Oh. These people, they too like love. Right? There's so many things that my husband is good at that I am zero at. Like, I can never, you know, I can never just do, right? Because it's just his competency. It's the area of competency. So one of it is negotiating. I don't know. I'm too nice. I feel like I'm too nice. But when my husband is negotiating on something, maybe a carpenter comes or want to buy something, or we go to the store or anywhere, my husband can get it for quarter of the price. But me, maybe they say 5,000. I say, okay, maybe I'll give you 4,000. It's just his strength, right? And there are some areas as well where I take the lead, where he feels like, okay, babe, what do you think about this? And he allows me to do that. Glory to God. Now, because he's the head of the home, that and I take the lead where something is concerned, it doesn't change his position as the head of the home. Hallelujah. And I want to say this particularly to the head of the homes in this house. Please let your leverage on the strength of your wife. Hallelujah. And it's not a competition. I know, because, you know, we have been, there's the image of, yes, you have to take charge as a man. You have to do things. You have to ensure that you're the one calling the shots. You have to make sure you know, there are some marriages that I realize that the woman is more visionary than the husband. Right? And in that case, and I've seen it, you know, in many instances in marriage counseling, when I observe couples, when I speak to them, or some complaints the wife makes is, okay, I have this, but my husband is not willing. Or, you know, some men, they know that their wives can get a job that will make them earn more money, but because the wife is earning more money than them, they will say, you shouldn't take that job. Hallelujah. I know we had a marriage conversation, right? And we delved into this matter, and, you know, the only man who was speaking said something that really, really, really got me thinking. I wish a lot of men could hear it. He said, what truly defines you as a man? What truly defines you as a man? Is it because your wife earns more? Is it that when I earn more money, then I feel like I'm a man? No. See, nobody can take your position from you. You are the head of the home. Glory to God. You are the head of the home, right? And so whoever it is that has more competency in a certain, you know, in a certain area in the family, you should allow that person leverage, you know, use their strengths. Glory to God. There's so many times that my husband has seen, there's so many things that we are currently experiencing in my family, that if my husband did not say it, I won't see it. Glory to God. There are some things that your partner will see that you may not be able to see, and that can be a blessing to your family. Glory to God. And so when we work together as a team and ensure that it is who, you know, has more competency in a certain area that should take that direction or that lead, then we'll work together as a team. Glory to God. We'll achieve our goals faster. Hallelujah. Someone say, I hear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it takes humility to really do this. It really takes humility. If something is not your strength, there's no point. Before, I used to try to prove that I can negotiate. It didn't work. So even when I want to do business deals, or when I want to do something that I know that is like, it's going to shake me a bit, I just call my husband, babe, what do you think? Even when it comes to strategy, my husband is very great with strategy, like so great. sometimes I wouldn't even think about anything, and you just say, babe, I think you should do this. Even though sometimes I have not done it and I've entered inside pits, but later I now rise up and then I now did it. Glory to God. So many times, I wish I could just give you so many examples, but please leverage on the strength of your partner in your marriage. And if you do this, just try it. Try it from today. Just if you notice that, okay, my wife is great when it comes to finances or investments. My husband is great when it comes to strategy. My husband is great when it comes to planning. My husband is great when it comes to the children. My wife is great when it comes to making money. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Just leverage on each other's strengths. And it takes a lot of humility. Hallelujah. Because, you know, the Bible says, and the two of them were naked and were not ashamed. You shouldn't be ashamed when it comes to your partner. You should be able to acknowledge your weaknesses when it comes to your partner. But of course, your partner also needs to be wise enough to be able to know how to handle your weaknesses. Hallelujah. I always say, the person that can do you the most in this life is who? Is your partner. Because your partner knows everything. My husband knows everything about me. I'm here, I'm speaking good English now. My husband knows the things I do at home that he cannot come here and come and be talking about on the stage. Glory to God. But he understands that I am a human being, right? And we're not perfect. I have my weaknesses. He has his own weaknesses. Glory to God. And we must be able to bear our burdens to each other because we are on the same team. It's not a competition. Hallelujah. All right, my time is, I've gone, finish. Understanding, now the second one is understanding seasons in marriage and navigating seasons in marriage. There are four seasons in marriage. There's the autumn, spring, summer. I won't be able to go into all of that detail. If you need more, come and meet me. Glory to God. There is autumn, summer, winter, and spring, right? And all of these are, you know, various transitions that we go through in marriages, right? But I just want to quickly talk about things to do when you're trying to navigate your seasons in marriage. Number one is have an open and honest conversation. Have an open and honest conversation. Communication. I think I always say to all the premarital counseling who are currently going through counseling or who want to go through counseling that communication is the blood of any relationship. For any relationship to thrive, it thrives on communication. I know you've heard this over and over again, but you cannot get tired of it because communication is key. And it's not just communication, but effective communication. Effective communication has not occurred until when your partner is able to understand what you are trying to communicate. Glory to God. Do not leave it to assumption and, you know, and feel like because I've said it, then my partner understands it. Your partner might actually understand it in a different light, but that's not what you're trying to communicate. And so there are three levels to, I don't want to go into all of this theory, but let me just say, there are three levels, right? There is the paraphrasing, clarification, and feedback, right? So you paraphrase, okay, this is what you're trying to say. Then you give clarity that, oh, no, this is not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say this. And then you now give your feedback that, oh, okay, great. I'm also thinking this way and all of those things. I mean, one of the greatest things that has helped myself and my husband is that we have conversations from time to time. And even is, I think me and my husband need to be studied, for lack of a better, let me be humble, but we need to be studied. Because I find that we communicate even non-verbally. It's so strange. Even me, I find it strange sometimes. For instance, let me give you one of the things that's currently happening now is recently I've been, and I've found out, you know, I've seen that over and over again in my marriage, right? Is that sometimes when there's a new season or when I feel like God is prompting our heart to do something, usually it's always happening simultaneously. And we will start to do the same things. It's so alarming to me sometimes. We start to do some things. I'll be doing some things and I'll notice that he's also doing those things. And I'll be like, okay. And even before we have those conversations, it's like there's already a sync, right? So we are so in sync, right? We're so in sync. Glory to God. So you must have honest and open conversation. And this sync would not happen if you don't have constant communication. Because most often than not, I always know the state of my husband's heart. And he always knows the state of my heart or what it is that I'm currently experiencing or maybe what I feel like I want to do and all of those things. So having open and honest conversations, share your thoughts, your feelings, your concerns, right? And when you have effective communication, you know, it nurtures understanding between the both of you. Number two is embrace that change and embrace that season, right? For some people who relocate, right? I know that it's a bit different, because if you relocate to another, at least I'm speaking to people who are online, who are probably in Germany and all of this, you know, those countries, right? You have moved to a new country. So to adapt takes a while. Now you have to understand that that change is inevitable. And it's not only when you relocate, right? It could be that, okay, you get a new job and you have to, the system that used to run and operate in the home is now different. And maybe you have to adapt to the way things are done. So you first of all have to understand, you know, that, you know, you have to embrace that change and now look for ways to ensure that your family doesn't suffer as a result of that. The next thing is prioritize empathy and understanding, right? Seek to understand your partner's perspective in areas, in issues, whatever it is. Seek to understand your partner's perspective. Could it be that you are just being stuck on your own ways, and actually listening to your partner, you know, can change something in your family, or change your goal, or help you guys go in a different direction that would help the family, you know, as a whole. Glory to God. And the next thing is invest in personal growth. Glory to God. Now, when we get married, right, yes, we are a team. But, you know, the effectiveness or the rate at which the family is able to grow is also dependent on your personal, you know, development, your personal engagement. Yes, we are a team. But when you develop yourself in certain areas, right, it makes the team grow better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So both individuals in the marriage should focus on their personal development, encourage each other's aspirations, support the pursuit of individual goals. When was the last time you asked your partner what their individual goals are? What do they want to achieve? What do they want to do? What is in their heart? It could be that maybe the last time you guys had a conversation, something else has changed. Maybe he or she has gotten, you know, a new vision on, and they want to explore, right? And it's also important the way seek to understand and encourage each other's aspirations, right? When both of you are growing as individuals, it strengthens the value of your relationship. I know some people ask questions, and I will try to stop here. Now, maybe not, but I will try. Is how can I convince my partner or spouse to join me in transformation in our marriage, right? So I know that this might be questions lingering in the hearts of, you know, many couples. Maybe you feel like, okay, you are in one particular wavelength, you are growing on this journey, but your partner is not on the same wavelength, right? Here's what I would say. I would say have a conversation with them. Have a conversation with them and let them know your perspective based on how you are growing. Some people say, oh, I feel like I'm outgrowing my husband. I feel like I'm outgrowing my wife. I feel like at this level I'm operating in, my partner is not able to work with me, right? And I say, have conversations, communication. See, you know, we can get into the trap of saying, oh, we're actually married, and you're just going into the flow of marriage, but you're not actually engaging each other. Glory to God. You know, you can get so used to that we are doing everything we need to do, we're going to work, we're taking care of the children, I'm meeting my own part of my role, or whatever it is I need to do, your husband too is doing that, but you're not actually engaging in active conversations. Glory to God. And that's why it's very important for you to spend time with each other. So you have to have conversations. And then number two is, don't try to change your partner by force, or try to change your partner the way you feel like they must be changed. Glory to God. Because most often than not, I'm sure you have tried it. Where has it gotten you to? It won't get you anywhere, because you feel like you are exerting so much energy. If someone doesn't see that they need to change, they're not going to change. That's just a basic truth you must know, right? So they have to go through their own process of actually saying, okay, I think I need to change this thing. And how do you do that? It's by having conversations. I have 4 minutes left. All right, so the last thing I would talk about is boredom in marriage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you can agree with me that sometimes you get bored? I know people don't want to raise up their hand because they don't want to fold the hand of their partner.
Hallelujah. But I know in your heart you're feeling that way. Glory to Jesus. I might preach to someone, say, preach on. Okay, thank you. The singles helped you. Don't worry. They'll cover for you. All right, so is it possible to, you know, to be bored? I don't think I can. I'm bored with my husband. But have there ever been times where I feel like, I need some spice? Yes. Glory to God. I need some spice in the marriage. Right? So because we are married doesn't mean that, you know, the things that you used to do before you were engaged, you know, you shouldn't continue to do them. Myself and my husband, we have date night. Sometimes it's planned, sometimes it's not planned. So number one, what I would say when it comes to boredom is take advantage of spontaneous opportunities and have fun together. My husband always says that me, I like things to be planned every time. Every time it's not planned, it cannot work. Because I operate in a planned environment, you know, and I like things to be done systematically, you know. But one of the things I realized is when I actually give into spontaneous activities, it actually brings a whole lot of freshness in my marriage, right? I will have said something, but there are lots of single people, and I'll also be talking about something like that, you know. But when you come to counseling, I will teach you and all of those things. But don't worry. I can just say it by the wayside. But take advantage of spontaneous opportunities, right? If something sport of the moment. I know some people have, like, they have 9 to 5, so sometimes they don't have, you know, have time to do stuff as they want to. But see, if you do not give into these things, what will happen is both of you will not be able to have fun together in the marriage. Just be going with the flow. All right, who wants to get married without having fun? Glory to God. You know that fun I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number two is plan new adventures together on a regular basis. So if you're not able to give into spontaneous activities, plan it. Myself and my husband, we don't plan it, but it just happens. At least once a month, we go on a date, right? We just go out, even if we don't go to expensive. And see, if the season that you are in requires you to save and invest every penny you have, and you don't have money or you don't have enough resources to plan maybe a getaway or all of those things, do you know that you can actually plan something, you know, very romantic in your house? Hallelujah. Don't worry, just come to me and meet me, I'll tell you. But let me say it. You can just get scented candles, right, in your house, just to create an ambience. Put on the TV. You see them. Just put on the TV, you know, play some jazz, you know. Just set the atmosphere of that. You will see that it will even be more than when you go out. Glory to God. Like, the whole house will be so, you know, lit. There was something that me and my husband did one time, you know, because, you know, money then was not, you know, but we thank God for our life now, right? But I love that memory so much, and I still remember, and I hope to recreate it sometime, where we just sat down in the house. I don't think there was light that day. I'm not sure. Right? And we were just at home. No, we're not at home, but we're somewhere. And we had amala and abula, and we just sat down and we were having conversations. Like, it was so romantic for me, and I think we had a rose or something like that. I can't remember, but it was so. See, I understand that, you know, people have different levels of finances where it concerns, but you can actually still make your marriage fun even if you don't have that much resources. Hallelujah. It's just about the intentionality. Glory to God. It's about the intentionality to actually spice up, you know, your marriage. So you can plan those activities together and whatnot. The last thing I would say is seek to learn and discuss something new together every day. You know, one of the things that myself and my husband, we do unconsciously, is that we always talk about different things, right? And when you have those conversations, you see that it brings you, you feel there's that intimacy, you feel that intimacy. You feel like both of you, but when you're not having constant communication, how would you not be bored? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So please, if you can do these things, right, I would like to implore you to start to do them if you have not, you know, started to do them. And if you've also begun to do them, don't stop doing it. Hallelujah. Like yesterday for our anniversary, myself and my husband, we went on a getaway. You know, I wish we could go to maybe Casablanca, but, you know, we just decided to just go to a hotel and we're just there. Right? We didn't really do much, to be honest, but I love the fact that we could get away, because in the last 2 years, you have taken my husband away from me. Glory to God. You've not let me have my husband to myself as I would love to. Glory to God. But there are seasons like that. Hallelujah. And I understand because of the peculiarity of what God is doing in the new and what God is doing. I understand. It's okay. But don't worry. I will still take my husband away. Glory to God. Have you been blessed today? Please let's rise up and welcome PS.
We hope you were greatly blessed by today's message because God still has so much He wants to share with you. So stay connected every week to experience uplifting and life-changing moments in His presence.